Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Go ahead, Bob. You want to do it. She's in the Hall of Fame. I don't know
why I did the things I did. One of the better songs of all time.
When I saw this list for the Hall of Fame, turn it up, Nelly. I thought, Cher? She doesn't belong. And then I heard this morning. She belongs, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
She belongs in the Hall of Fame.
This is just about, I love this song.
I have no idea how in the world, right? Ozzy Osbourne.
If I can turn back time.
You dog, you.
Yes.
Back away.
She belongs, Bob. She's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Not a first ballot.
She's a 10th ballot Hall of Famer.
How is it that this place has been open for, what, 20, 25 years, and Ozzy Osbourne just got in? Come on. Ozzy Osbourne just got in?
He sucks.
This has become...
He sucks,
it's
Bob.
Not they should stop calling it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and call it any kind of music Hall of Fame that we want.
Come on. Cher belongs. Cool in the Gang. How did it take them this long?
It's
like the people who choose the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame are choosing these people. It takes a long time. You got to be on the seniors list.
Was Ron Cook keeping Cool in the Gang out because they used steroids, Paul?
That's probably what happened.
But seriously.
You did that right when I took a cup of coffee.
I mean, come on,
who's
man.
Keeping them out for this long? They should have been in when the thing started. Arguably a first class, the first class ever formed in the Hall of Fame.
Imagine,
could have had Cool in the
imagine
Gang.
A Hall of Fame with ABBA and the Bee Gees that didn't have Cool in the Gang until now.
It's unreal. Big Mama Thornton, Bob, you're a big fan there, aren't you?
Big Mama.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
But I was torn on Cher when I saw this morning, that she's in this class. But then I heard that, and then we go to her and Sonny Bono. Does he get any credit? Does he get any Hall votes? Is Ron keeping him out too, Paul?
Yeah, probably. Like I said, you've got people like Depeche Mode in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Iron Maiden is not.
Iron Maiden never made it?
They're not in it.
I thought they were. They're not, you're sure.
Bob Nightingale might be keeping them out. How about Sonny and Cher? How about a little taste of that, Nelly? This is one of the great wedding songs of all time, Bob. Go ahead and sing to this one. This one gets you. This is like Mazeroski's Homer. This gets you in the hall.
This is
like Mazeroski.
You like this, Paul?
It's not bad.
Somehow I don't think Paul's driving into work with this on his radio.
Oh, babe.
I got you, Bob.
I got you.
Little known fact, this was originally called I Got You, Bob.
Yeah.
It was about you.
That's what you've got me a few times. That's
right.
Sonny Bono, the worst singer of all time. Let's hear a little bit of him, Nelly. Go ahead. Pump that up.
I got you, babe.
Go ahead, Bob. You love this song.
No, I'm trying to analyze. Sonny never impressed me as much as Cher did.
Who else got in? Dave Matthews Band? Deserving?
No.
In this
I mean, well, actually, they are deserving. You know why? Because they're somebody who performed musically, and that seems to be all it takes to get into this Hall of Fame.
He's like Harold Baines to me, Bob.
Harold Baines.
Dave Matthews. He had a good career. The longevity factor is there, but is he a Hall of Famer? Dave Matthews? I don't know. Thoughts?
No, I would say no based on what you said. It's, you know, longevity factor gets, it's like Frank Gore. You can make the argument that he deserves to be in the
exactly.
Hall of Fame, but Frank, and maybe he does. I mean, I'm not gonna belittle the fact that the guy has been around for a long time and he continues to rush the football when he gets it, you know, all these years. But it's the same thing. Is longevity a factor? It should be, but it shouldn't be the only factor.
Mary J. Blige, she a Hall of Famer?
She had a run of about what, 5 to 7 years where she was. She would be like the
Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis. Yeah. She would be the Terrell Davis where she had a run where she was it was at the top, but it was short. It was, you know, maybe two albums.
How about Foreigner?
Antonio Brown. That's going to be his case. I was good for 6 years.
Did she quit in the middle of a concert? How about Foreigner?
Foreigner is another group that
I like.
Why
Foreigner.
Are they in the Hall of Fame?
Why are they in the Hall of Fame?
They're another.
I like them though.
They're another.
Really?
They are.
You don't like them?
I like
them. They're good. Yeah, they're okay.
I like them, but my point is they were a good band.
This is like sports. It's the Hall of the very good, not the great.
But the thing about Foreigner is they're just kind of they're not great. They had a nice.
No, they're good. I love listening to their music.
I'm just saying when I think of Hall of Fame, and I get into this argument with people all the time, I'm thinking of the elite of the elite.
Yes, that's what it should
be. You know what I mean?
Right.
Foreigner was sort of that quarterback like Matt Ryan.
Yeah, that's a great comparison.
Good player, not a Hall of Famer.
Marv Levy. I love him, but if you don't win a championship, how are you a coach in the Hall of Fame, Bob? He went 0-4, and the guy that beat him a million to nothing in back-to-back Super Bowls had to wait longer than he did, which was Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson deserved earlier, right? I mean, I put a lot of credit to get to four of those things in a row. I think that's a hard
so
feat
do
to
I.
accomplish
so
because
do
it's
I.
year after year things change, and yet you get back there. Now, you got to cash in on one of them.
How about Peter Frampton? I think he belongs.
Oh, my wife loves Peter Frampton.
Crank it up, Nelly. I mean, this guy's a legend, Paul.
Oh,
come
yeah,
on.
Baby.
This guy's a Hall of Famer. How does he wait this long, Bob?
Celebrity Care Fest that they had a few years ago.
Listen
he was
to
there.
This.
He still can bring it.
He brings it. He's Nolan Ryan, this guy. Paul, you on board with this guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a guitar player.
And he was so different, right?
Well, why'd he wait this long? Is Cyndi Lauper in this thing?
Nah, she screams too much for me. I'm not a big...
But I think she's already in.
Is she?
Jeez. She gets in while this has to wait? This has to wait. Thank you, Nelly. Boy, that was
that
abrupt.
That was abrupt.
Very abrupt.
You've been on top of everything.
I hit the wrong... Hey, I meant to...
So, there you have it. Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Cool in the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. What's that?
That's a they are the ultimate. They are the ultimate Terrell Davis.
I never even heard of them.
Yeah,
me neither.
Can you get award tour for us and put that up there?
Would we know any of these
you
songs?
You would know the song award tour. By Tribe Called Quest. See if you can find it. Pull it up for us.
Wait a second here. Jimmy Buffett gets in this year? Of all years?
Sympathetic vote, maybe.
The year that we...
He should have been in. I like him. He should have been in earlier.
So do I. He's right, Paul? He should have been in earlier. He
absolutely should have been in earlier.
Yes, I think so. Absolutely.
I think he only got in this year because Austin City Limits revealed that he and his family went to a Buffett concert when he was 13. Remember he told us that?
You got it for us? Charlie?
You're putting him on the spot
He's
now.
Pulling it, he's pulling it up for us. He's going to do it, it seems.
Ads.
Oh.
I have to wait for him to go away.
Okay. All right. We got...
Dionne Warwick had to wait till this year?
Are you kidding me? I love Dionne Warwick.
How is she not in, Bob?
Here we go. This is
What's this?
This is What's Tribe this? Called Quest. You've heard this song, I'm sure. Right?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Come on. This is what we rolled with in like the early 90s. Come on now. This was every club in America. This was like the signature song where, you know, like the night would build to something like that.
Is Rick James in?
Yes, I think so. He has to be, right?
I hope he is.
Let me look. I'll tell you right now.
We used to warm up in basketball, the Super Freak.
So, you don't know.
Super Freak. Super Freak.
You don't know Tribe Called Quest?
What a great song. No, I still don't know that song either.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Did you know that song, Nelly?
I didn't know the song, but I know who A Tribe Called Quest is.
Yeah. But you didn't know that song?
No.
Okay.
Actually, it looks like Rick James is not in.
How's he not in?
Wait a second. Like, he's got to be.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, wait. I'm going. It's alphabetical. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Ricky Nelson, Righteous Brothers, Ringo Starr.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers go in before Peter Frampton?
Yes.
Bob.
I'm telling you.
I'm unqualified to make any kind of comments because I don't know all of their their entire resume. I don't know what they did
over
their
last
year, their rookie year, to where they are now. I don't know.
Over the last 10 years, this has become 15 years. This the whole thing has become a joke.
Let me ask you both a question. Should one-hit wonders get in? Should the Youngbloods be in for everybody get together? Yeah, that one. Should they be in for that, Bob?
No, I think you have to have a longer.
I don't know. If you're,
you could have different categories.
Did Don McLean have much after American Pie?
No.
They should. They should have.
Should he be in for that?
No. You're asking me that. You got to have more.
Paul?
I would say he should be in for that.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the signature incredible.
A lot of people have signature.
Yeah, but that is a song that is like.
I understand
so
that.
Much about that song that, you know, it's such a part of the fabric.
That's Mazeroski's Homer,
right.
Seriously.
It's so much a part of the fabric of our culture, of our history, of our,
yes.
You know what I mean? That's
Bob, that one's good enough to get you in its own.
I'll use the dumbest criteria that I hear some people. If you wrote the history of American music, and if you wrote the history of the 70s and 80s, could you write it without that song? No.
No, so and I saw him in concert at Heartwood Acres, and he acted mad that he had to play that song. Like, Don, we're not here to – we don't even know any of the other titles. Just play that one 10 times, and you can leave. That's all we're here for.
Well, let me just tell you this. That's the one-hit wonder kind – that kind of one-hit wonder that has a song that's so above and beyond just a one-hit.
That gets you in.
That almost has to get you in,
I think so. How about David Soul? Remember him?
Yeah.
Don't give up on us, baby.
Is that all?
We're still worth one more try.
Is that Mary Tyler Moore song?
No.
What was that?
He had one song, but it was a goodie.
Okay. How about Player?
Gary Player?
No, Player, the band Player. Baby, come back.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Was that their only hit?
That was their only hit.
Bob, that gets you in.
Okay,
one hit
fine.
Gets you in, I think.
You're talking.
You can blame it all on me.
You're opening it all up for everyone just to come on in.
No,
that's fine.
If you have
if
a song like that, then you deserve it. I don't like the Lifetime Achievement Awards. I feel like that's Foreigner. What's their big hit?
Well, they've got a lot. I mean, Hot Blooded was a big song.
Well,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Well,
there we go.
This is
Foreigner.
This is one of the best songs. If you're gonna use it by one song, I would put this
the
on.
The more
on
I
list.
Start to think about Foreigner,
yeah,
the more
sorry.
I start to
slam
think they probably
I
should be in.
Yeah, I was wrong.
But they have more than one, though. They have
that's
well,
one
I know,
them.
But
that's
even
my
just
point.
This one. I'm sorry. I
do want to know what love is.
Yeah.
I screwed up. They deserve to be in.
Yes.
How were they not in till now? How did they not get in till now, Bob?
I don't Joe. I had no. If you had told me walking into the studio that we'd be talking about this right off the bat,
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has become 100% just trying to generate publicity for itself and reaching out to lots of different fans, which is why every year now we have a hip hop group, we have a female act, we have
I wish one of us could do a Ron imitation.
I wish it was legitimately
cool in the gang.
A Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Who's Kool & the Gang's lead singer?
I don't know. Who is
Do you know anybody in the band? Bob? Isn't that amazing?
I just know they're great together.
I know Kool.
I don't know. They were on steroids
here we go.
In the
here
70s.
We go. Yes. Here we go. Kool & the Gang. Ready?
Yeah.
What the? Almost. Almost. Almost said it. Hang on.
Bob, what's that
here
pamphlet you're reading?
It's my golf tournament.
Oh.
It was founded by Robert Kool Bell.
Cool.
Ronald Bell.
Cool Papa Bell.
Dennis Thomas, Robert Mickens, Charles Smith,
From Pitt?
Yeah, George Brown.
Jerome Lane.
Woody Sparrow and Ricky Westfield. There you have
Sean
it.
Sean Miller.
So here we go. Wait. The first,
Demetrius Gore.
So listen. Listen. This is how ridiculous it is that Ozzy Osbourne is getting in. I didn't realize the first class was in 1986.
Yeah. Who was in the first class?
Jimmy Rogers. Jimmy Yancey.
What?
Little Richard.
How is it not like Paul McCartney,
Elvis,
Bob Dylan?
Elvis Presley. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's
Sam
makes...
Phillips.
Okay.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Robert Johnson. Buddy yes. Holly.
Yes.
John Hammond. Alan Freed. The Everly Brothers. Fats Domino. Sam Cooke. James Brown.
Wow.
So he is in.
That's a hell of a class.
Ray Charles and Chuck Berry.
That's a hell of a class.
Now, here's the only problem I have with that. How many of those people are rock stars?
Well, they long ago gave up the strict definition.
I know. I'm just saying, like, in your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you don't have one signature rock group in your first class. Not one.
Do you think Cher deserves? If you had a vote, would you vote for Cher?
I mean, again, we're letting everybody in. What the hell? Everybody gets in this damn thing.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. Back to the original Cher song you started with, Nelly. That really set the tone. She deserves it, Bob. I just feel bad for Sonny. Do you think he would have been her presenter?
No.
Wait, he died, right?
Yeah, I think so, did he?
A long time
ago. I always
hate
to ask that question anymore.
Yeah, I think he did.
Because I can't remember who did and didn't.
He did.
Okay.
It wasn't until the class of 1990. The fourth class. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm sorry, 89. The Rolling Stones got in.
How about the Who?
They were 90. My
See,
point
that
is,
should have been part of the
first
class.
That's what I'm saying.
Too.
You have the Rolling Stones take some. They're not even a first ballot Hall of Famer for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hit it, Nelly, if you would.
I'm sorry. I just found out that Motorhead is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm very upset.
Yeah,
exactly. What's Motorhead?
They're another.
Is that a person or a band?
Help them out. Help them out.
Motorhead sucks.
Come on.
I don't even know who they are. Hey, do you, Bob?
Listen.
No.
The best part about this show is I consider myself to be very old and out of touch, but then I'm around these two, and I'm like, I'm not so old and out of touch.
What is a Motorhead? Anyway.
I mean, come on.
Maybe
Joe.
In the end, we're trying to avoid a certain topic, and that would be your Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of, since we're way off topic for a minute here,
let's keep avoiding them.
Did you see the Cricket Lounge closed?
Why aren't the Crickets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Remember their Christmas album?
Yes, the Crickets.
Yeah.
Did you see the Cricket Lounge?
No,
I saw that.
What is it?
A fixture. It's like the ultra dive. Gentlemen's Club right there in Oakland.
No.
You know, when you were in college, you know, and you had to get a fake ID to go up in there. And that place, you know, it's a total dirt ball. It's a total, like, dive. Total dive. Hole in the wall. The greatest upset ever is that it was still alive until yesterday when they shut it down, or today when they shut it down.
I thought COVID would have done a number on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, they didn't. It's amazing. I was amazed when I read the story today that it was being shut by the health department. I was like, I can't even believe it's been open all these years. It should have been shut.
Where has the health department been for all
these years? It should have been shut by the health department for 30 years ago.
Goodbye to the Cricket Lounge.
Did you find a Motorhead song for us? There we go.
Picture a young Bob Pompiani.
There we go. Listen.
Banging heads.
How is this not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
You're right about this one, too.
Come on now. That's
Bob?
How you do it.
Oh, I like that.
You love this.
I do, but I'm saying I didn't
you
even know.
You were at
Hope
Park
I did not
drunk
know.
Dancing to this. Maybe Hopewell. Is that where
maybe
you went
Hopewell.
To high school?
Yeah, maybe Hopewell.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, this is how you do it. He's right, Bob. Isn't he?
Yeah, I love listening to that now brings back. But you know how you know songs, but you don't know the group sometimes? That's what that was for me.
Sure. I agree with that. Let's get to the Pirates. We have to.
Someone is scolding us on Twitter because Roman Gabriel died and we haven't mentioned it.
I had a Roman Gabriel puzzle when I was a kid. He had those unbelievable white and blue Rams helmet and uniform. And I remember putting together that that little puzzle, Nelly, when I was a child. Can we get to the Pirates, please? They stink right now. They absolutely stink. Yesterday was embarrassing. I look at this lineup, and it's god-awful right now. And if I was Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton and anybody else in that organization right now, I would be looking at this and saying, what has become of this lineup, of this plan? I mean, Connor Joe's your leadoff hitter. He's a professional hitter. He's nobody's leadoff
hitter. Sadly, he's one of their better hitters.
Brian Reynolds is okay. He'll probably always be okay. He's a good player. Key Brian Hayes has no home runs out of the third spot. Jack Sawinski cleanup at 191. Andrew McCutchen, Shelty refuses to bat him lower than fifth ever. He's batting 173 and strikes out in 40% of his at-bats. Rowdy Tellez has done nothing except defend David Bednar.
Joey and ever since Bart, he's done that, he's hit 115.
Joey Bart has taken over for Henry Davis now two games in a row. He's their best player, Joey Bart. O'Neill Cruz is a disaster. I think, what is he, 4-for-44 with 25 strikeouts or something? And Triolo is at best a utility guy in the major leagues. Other than that, it's a dynamic lineup. This is horrendous, and I'm going to ask you to, if this keeps up, like I thought that maybe this team wouldn't go on those 8 and 10 game slides that last year's team did. Well, they're at 6 right now. Should Shelty and or Ben Cherington start to feel nervous at any point, especially Shelty, because it always starts with the manager. You know, after the hitting coach and pitching coach, it's the manager's the next one to go. When should he start feeling nervous? Paul?
You should have been, I think he should have been feeling very, very nervous after last season. And again, the fact that they are steadfast in basically saying he's not the problem, we're going to stay the course, tells me he's probably never going to feel nervous, no matter what happens this year. I would be very, very shocked, because that would be admitting they made a mistake. And Ben Cherington has not shown any ability to just admit, we've made a mistake here with this guy. He's not good. He doesn't know what he's doing. Now, the problem is, how much of what he's doing is just he's hamstrung by what
Ben Cherington
and his analytics group want him to do.
How is Andy Haynes still here? That's my question.
That's the bigger question.
Who's gotten better as a hitter?
The only guy who really has is Ke'Bryan Hayes, and he had to go to the other guy that they fired.
That everybody got hot and bothered with.
Exactly.
That he went to another guy at AA, and then Cherington fired that guy.
Right.
Which makes absolutely no sense.
It speaks to a guy
who's going against what they believe in.
Who's incredibly, incredibly insecure. Because his thing is, well, we got to get rid of this guy who's questioning what we're doing, even though I'm sure. What's the guy's name? The hitting instructor they went to,
Nunnally.
Nunnally. Even though I'm sure Nunnally wasn't going against their philosophy, he was really legitimately just trying to help.
He's doing
Ke'Bryan
what he was
Hayes,
supposed to do,
right?
Helping
trying
a guy
to
learn
find
to hit.
help Ke'Bryan Hayes find his way back.
Right.
Well, guess what? That I'm sure it was almost like, well, you know, we have a philosophy. And if you're going to go outside of our philosophy.
But isn't a guy in your organization part of your philosophy?
Yes.
Like when I interviewed Shelty about that last year, going in, I was thinking, because I think Mackey had just reported that Hayes went to this AA manager in the Pirates organization for help. And I thought, great. You know, that I'm sure they'll be happy to talk about that. A guy in their organization who helped Hayes coming up and
right.
Now he goes back to. You should take credit for that. Instead, Shelty was very cryptic about it. And then Cherington fired the guy, which, yes, tells me, wow, because you're trying to protect Andy Haynes here?
That's the thing, yes. That's what it is. It speaks to, like I said, insecurity and just being, you know, like really insecure that, oh, boy, it got out that one of our other instructors helped Ke'Bryan Hayes. That doesn't look good for all the rest of us. So rather than try and figure out what he did to help Ke'Bryan Hayes, let's just fire the guy and continue the course, which to me looks like a course to destruction.
Bob, do you agree that Shelty's here no matter what for the rest of the year?
I would say yes for the rest of the year, but then after that, all bets are off. And I say the same about Cherington, to be honest. this was, they brought these guys in with a plan. I was willing, like, I mean, you got to give them time because what they inherited was a bunch of crap and they had to try to rebuild it. Still, ultimately, this is about what people do we see developing to the point where they can be legitimate major leaguers. How many have? How many haven't? You know, you got number one picks now, and I hope Skeens is what we think he is. He should be. But Henry Davis has really struggled, and at some point they have to find a solution for this. This was the guy, and they've gone back and forth on their message about it. Is he a catcher or not? And if not, why did you take him first overall?
I just want to know if he's a hitter. I want to know. Is he a hitter?
They should bench McCutchen as a DH and put him there and let him hit if that's the case. Or send him to the minors and say hit.
How about Shelty never putting McCutchen below fifth? What are we doing here? I mean, maybe he bounces back. Maybe he doesn't. I tend to think negatively on that. But at the moment, he's slumping horrifically. He's hitting 173. He strikes out in 40% of his at-bats. Is it just because of respect that you keep him in the five hole? Come on.
You've got to start looking at guys who you are going to build with in the next few years. And Henry Davis is a large part of that. And
Henry Davis is going to wind up in the minors when Grandal comes back.
Well, he probably should, and there's no disrespect in that. Just go and figure it out. Cruz should go back to the minors and start to figure it out.
Think about that, though,
and they're going to play him up here every day, and this continues, what are they doing?
They're probably
hurting him a lot more than they're helping him.
Everybody from Bob Nutting to Charrington to Shelton has to be in their private moments thinking, oh, my God. Two of our best players supposed to be O'Neill Cruz. He doesn't look like he knows how to play baseball still.
I think he has
these moments of incredible athletic prowess combined with long stretches of nothing but strikeouts. He's unplayable against left-handed pitching, and he leads tied for the league lead in errors. He's almost unplayable right now.
He's in the league lead of errors and strikeouts.
Yeah.
Those are things you don't want to see.
Davis is unplayable right now, which is why they started Joey Bart two games in a row. So if you're running this organization, what are you thinking right now, Paul?
Well, my thing about Davis is, what are they doing? Like, what is their plan with him? And now you're almost, Joe, which would be to me a colossal failure, you're almost to the point where you have to send him back to the minors. And say, go figure.
But that's okay. But a lot of guys have gone
right,
back.
But my point
figure
is,
it out.
My point is, he's 4 years, like, now this is supposed to be a stretch where you're trying to win games.
Gonzalez is supposed to be here too, by the way.
This is supposed to be a stretch where all of these young guys that we've heard about for 4 or 5 years finally all sort of come to fruition. Nick Gonzalez is still down in the minors, although the way he's hitting, I can't imagine he's going to be down there much longer, especially since they can't hit. But Henry Davis is supposed to be one of your stars. He's not. He's not even close.
He's not playable.
He's not even, exactly.
And you really, you know, we haven't talked about Suwinski. Here he is again. He has 2 home runs, 7 runs batted in. He's batting well under 200.
It's getting tiresome.
And
man,
if you take one swing away, which was a grand slam, and if you take another swing away, which was a 2-run home run, you have 0 home runs, 1 run batted in every other 22 games that you've
seen.
The guys, and you've got to have more than that from him.
And the guys they've sunk money into, although not big money as far as like real stars in Major League Baseball, but big pirate money, Brian Reynolds is just a slightly above average player. He was the last 2 years. He's trending that direction this year. Key Brian Hayes has no homers in 75 at-bats. He's been their number three hitter. That's two or three is where you put your best hitter. Mitch Keller is the other guy that they sank money into. And he's carrying a 4.8 ERA and has had two horrible starts, one mediocre one and two good ones. So, you know, what are we doing? And then we get to the whole Jared Jones thing. We got to move right now, but we're going to get to this next, Paul, is an unbelievable quote from Ben Charrington passing the buck.
First time that's happened, I think. Normally it's a we. This was not a we. This was a he.
You'll hear the quote next on that 59-pitch situation from last week. Was that Ben Charrington's decision? Apparently Ben Charrington doesn't think so, which is amazing. We'll hear his quote. We'll talk about it next. It's Off the Top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. We also have Steeler Draft. We have Penguins, Kyle Dubas from Friday. All kinds of things to talk about today. South Hills Kia fan Twitter, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we're finally putting our voices to good use. Other than talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon will take place June 6th and 7th as we raise funds for dozens of local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours from the Green Tree VFD. To register your local VFD, go to 937thefan.com. 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, brought to you by Firehouse Red Ale, North Country Brewing, and the National Sprinkler Association. Could you argue that Jimmy Buffett is a one-hit wonder? And I know he created an entire culture, I do. But for the general public, is he a one-hit wonder? And is this the hit, Paul?
Yes. That's the culture was created based on this and the need to get away.
I agree.
And have a beer and not think about any of the crap that you have to think about on a daily basis.
But this song, again, is enough to get him into the Hall of Fame. This is Mazeroski's homer.
Yeah. I'm coming around to your way of thinking.
I mean, this is obviously the one that everybody knows, right?
Yeah. I mention to you that there's a VHS tape somewhere in circulation in humanity of me in the early 90s doing a drunken video to this at Station Square? They had a little store where you could do music videos. Do you remember that? Either one of you?
No.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody has that tape.
You have part of singing this song while intoxicated.
And partially clothed. Yes. Yes.
Oh, Joe. Oh,
circa
Joe.
1990. All right, let's get to the Pirates because this is a five-alarm fire right now. I don't think I'm overdoing it. They're in a free fall. And when you look at the lineup, it's not like you say, oh, yeah, that guy will get going. This guy will get going. Willie? Who? Who are we talking about here? Now, we get to the Jared Jones situation. He's going tonight. Over under 11 and a half pitches, Bob?
I'm going to go under.
Okay. He's only going to throw 10 and then get removed? So last week he threw 59, was taken out of the game. We all know the story. Derek Shelton said afterward it was predetermined, which would naturally lead anyone of sound mind to come to the conclusion that the analytics people led by Ben Charrington were at the forefront of that. We're taking this guy out no matter what. Well, Charrington gets on his show yesterday right here on The Fan and was asked about the Jared Jones situation and who made that decision. And man, he delivered a brain breaker of an answer. Nelly?
In Jonesy's case, you know, he's had a pretty normal in quotes for a high school pitcher, you know, progression through the minor leagues. He's still young, and he's obviously doing really good things in the major leagues. That outing in New York was the first time in the major leagues that he's pitched on 4 days rest. He's done 4 days rest in the minor leagues, obviously, but it was his first time in the major leagues. And we just looked at, okay, he's in the major leagues. That means maybe every pitch is a little bit higher intensity. Everyone knows he's throwing hard. You know, he's got an aggressive style of pitching, which is exciting. So it was the first time he's going to pitch on 4 days rest. And the staff decided on their own that, you know, we're going to hold him a little bit short this time. And it's a long season, and we want Jared Jones to be part of this for the long season. I really respect their decision. It's not easy to do that in the middle of a game. You got a chance to win with a guy pitching as well as he was. I really respect that decision to have, you know, have some perspective that this is a long war we're fighting in 2024. And there's these individual daily battles that we're trying to win. But it is a big war, and we're trying to make decisions to do both. Win the smaller daily battles, but also win the war.
What? Hold on a second here. Hold on a second here. So if it was predetermined, first of all, who made the decision? All right, this isn't like Shelty's contract where we're not going to tell anybody about it, how long it is, you know, another secret kept from the ticket-buying public and the fan base. Who made this decision? And this guy's passing the buck on it? If it was merely, If it was merely presented to him beforehand, then it's his decision
because
he has veto power. But he said, Paul, he just said the staff decided on their own we're going to hold him a little bit back a little bit tonight. Who? Shelty, the pitching coach? What does he mean, and why is he distancing himself from this decision that was predetermined?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, again,
this is unbelievable.
His answer should be one of two things. We collectively made the decision, meaning he was a part of it, or I told Shelton if he does that again, he's done because we have to win games this year. You know, when I was talking about this last week, when we were talking about this, Joe, somebody actually tweeted me that you two are idiots because you don't understand. They said next year is the year they're shooting to really go and try and win games. First of all, if that's the case, then just get rid of them all now. Because what do we do? Why are we wasting a year of our time? But second of all, this is a year they're supposed to be making a push and surging and winning games.
And they said so.
And they've said so themselves.
He said they wanted to win more than 84 games. That was a quote from Charrington.
Yes, and if that's the case, okay, why is your manager giving away basically a game? I don't care that it's April. Why is he giving away a game and nobody seems to care?
But I don't believe him, do you?
I don't either.
I don't believe this was a staff decision. This was decided before the game.
It was decided before the game, and I think it was, you know, Charrington and all of his analytics, you know, guys, and there's no way that decision was made independent of Charrington. Zero chance.
Bingo. And therefore, it was his decision. Even if it was just like, and I don't believe this either, if it was Oscar Marin and Shelty and the analytics guys presenting to Charrington, hey, here's our case for this. First of all, it's a major organizational decision. If it's predetermined, we're going to take this kid and only pitch him five innings. That's a big deal to do that. But if they presented it to Charrington, he said, go ahead, do it. That's still his decision. If he merely knew about it in any way, shape, or form, he has veto power. Therefore, ultimately, it's his decision.
Totally agree. And while I understand the logic of protecting younger players' arms, I get that. It's all over baseball. This does not fall into that category. This was a situation where exactly is predetermined? The pitch count, the amount of innings, the quality of his work. What is predetermined? 50 of his 59 pitches were strikes. He had in no way shown any sort of laboring whatsoever. He was on top of his game. And even if you are predetermining whatever you're predetermining, as a game moves forward, you see that, you know what, maybe we were wrong about this. Let's change our decision in flight. We can still do that.
Sure.
We can go inning by inning,
Bob,
after this.
Especially since the GM didn't make this decision. So
therefore,
we have the power to change it.
And just say, he looks good. We thought 50 or whatever, five innings. But no, he did better than what we thought. So we're going to extend this based on an in-game decision. In other words, change your opinion once you're in the game. You have the latitude to do that. And you don't have to strictly speak to metrics only here. This is a gut decision based on what you see from a guy.
And now we've moved beyond that, and I agree with everything you just said, to who made this decision and when was it made? I can't believe that Charrington didn't go on there and own it yesterday.
Well, here's the thing. The other part of it is, if it didn't come from above, let's say it didn't, which I think there's zero chances that it didn't come from above. Okay? If it didn't come from above, then why in the hell in the fifth inning didn't Derek Shelton just say, hey, he's rolling right now. Let's let him keep pitching.
That's what I said to Bob.
Yes, that's the point, though.
Hey, the GM's not ruling over this. We can do whatever we want.
We can do what we want because it's our decision.
Great column by Dejan Kovacevic today, crushing the Pirates. He says, upon bringing up this whole thing that Charrington said yesterday, he said, does Charrington think that we're supposed to entertain some fantasy scenario that for the first time in a half decade, a decision of that magnitude wouldn't have emanated from 115 Federal, or at the very least as part of a conversation with all concerned? Seriously, what was that? How did that even happen? And how's that supposed to engender so much as a smattering of confidence in the broader process at hand? What a joke. I agree with every syllable and half syllable that he wrote right there. That the very notion that the GM was sitting back, I respect their decision, the staff's decision. What? And Jason Mackey wrote about this as well in the Post-Gazette today. And he wrote that he was surprised as well to hear Charrington say that this was a coaching staff decision. Mackey also said, to his credit, Charrington added that he really respected their decision. How was that something to credit him for? What?
What? That makes absolutely no sense to me.
Well, what? He really respected their decision. It wasn't their decision in the end. It was his, until I hear otherwise. Do you guys agree with that?
I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, there's what do you respect about it? I don't respect anything about it because, number one, he's passing the buck, isn't he?
Yes.
There's no way, in my opinion, that as the general manager, he's not aware
exactly
going into a game like that what they're doing.
If Skeens is as good as this kid, we're all going to be happy. I would say that. So now imagine Skeens, Paul Skeens, the number one overall pick coming up here in a couple weeks. And in his first start, Shelty and Oscar Marine decide unilaterally he's only going four innings. Is Charrington going to go on his radio show and say, I really respected that decision. Nobody informed me what they were doing, but I'm okay with that. It's ludicrous, really, that any decision that is this big, involving this important of a commodity to the Pirates, Jared Jones, would be made with the general manager as nothing more than an observer. It's no more ridiculous than if it occurs with Skeens,
right,
which it won't.
Right. That's the thing. And the other part of it is, if the general manager is not interested in winning games right now, then why is he the general manager? Like, the thing that bothers me the most is sort of, this is another one of these what I would say general statements that they make that are sort of condescending in the way they approach it, but they also are trying to, like, always put this aura out there that, we're building something here. Winning and losing is not necessarily our top priority right now. They don't say it, but this is another one of these statements where they're trying to put it out there that, well, you know,
just wait. You're going to have to wait a little longer.
We're smarter than all of you. We have a plan. It's working. You might not be able to see it. So if you're going to get caught up in the wins and the losses, which, you know what, as a fan who goes to a game and wants to pay money to go to a game, I would like to know that the home team is trying to win.
So would I. And I pay money to go to the games, by the way. That's how I go to PNC Park. I pay full price for tickets like anybody else. And I sit there in the crowd. And somebody should, maybe I should, write an open letter to Ben Charrington, say, Ben, you talked about, like, the long war here. There's no such thing when it comes to high-priced Pirates, like really high-priced guys, like maybe Jones and Skeens will be. You're not going to have them in about 4 to 5 years. Neither one of them, just so you know. So you better start winning some of these battles, because that's all you're going to get out of them if you're still here.
Right.
If you're actually making decisions. What's next? Shelty sends Henry Davis to the minors, and Charrington says, I really respect Shelty's decision there to send him to the minors. Good call. Yeah. I don't have anything to do with it.
I think they do everything together, and this is the first time we've seen a decision that was made that apparently wasn't made, at least based on what Ben Charrington says, which I don't know if I believe, just because you have to be aware of that stuff. He has to know what's going on down there. This is a pitcher who is important, but he's on a roll. Keep the roll going. Why are you trying to stop it before it ends? You know, he's going to have a rough outing once in a while, and you have every reason at that point to say that's enough. This wasn't one of those. And quite frankly, this started their six-game losing streak.
Who made the call, Bob, in your opinion? When he says
I think it comes from the top. I think
the staff made this.
I think they bowed on the metrics people. If they're saying it's predetermined, it's because of their fear of something that may not happen. You know?
The staff decided on their own.
We're all conditioned to think that these guys, sorry, you cannot pitch an arm like, okay, well, when can you? When can you do this then? If you're so worried now, are you going to be worried 6 months from now or 8 months from now?
About six years from now when he's playing for the Yankees.
I just don't understand it. He's on a road, and there's no evidence to suggest that he should have been taken out other than your fear of what might happen.
That's one of the most incredible quotes I've ever seen from a GM in this town. And I'm not trying to overdo it here. The staff decided on their own we're going to hold him back a little bit. Paul.
But again, this is the ultimate pass the buck. This is what was the nickname we used to give Walt Harris? Because
not my fault.
Not
Walt.
My fault. Walt.
This is Narduzzi right. too.
Not my fault, Ben.
Yeah.
Because the reality of the situation is there's nobody with a brain that believes that's true. Honestly, well, maybe Mackey does, but there's nobody else that believes that's true.
Not my, I'm trying to think of a better nickname. Not my fault, Walt, was, I believe, a Bob Smyzik creation, as I remember.
Right. So that's my point, though. You know what I mean? My point with all of this is if you are a guy who is at the top of the organization and everybody under you apparently follows your
right,
your philosophies
right.
and your thoughts. And
Yes.
There's no way in the world that this decision was made without you knowing it, number one. And number two, it wasn't made without your overall philosophy in mind.
And even on the zero chance that they did make it independently, zero chance. And this is something that I respect about Tomlin when it comes to the draft and everything else. He'll look at you and say, put it on me. Put it on me. If you're the GM and Ben Charrington knows that his organization has been shredded since that Jared Jones thing, when you know all kinds of people are taking heat for this and getting absolutely ripped, you, as the leader of the organization, even if you had nothing to do with it, you step up and you say, that's on me. Anybody out there who wants to rip the Pirates for that, put it on me.
Right.
And this dude said the staff decided on their own we're going to do this. I've never seen anything like it.
No, you always have to take it. That's just the way it works. And even if you don't believe it, you have to take it. You're the man in charge. Kyle Dubas did that the other day where he said, this whole season's on me.
Good example. Even if you don't believe him, right?
Yeah, there are things that I think went beyond his control sometimes. But, I mean, you're the man in top. You're responsible. Your name is the general manager, which means you have decisions on everything that go on with that organization.
And if you're surprised
that your manager or coaching staff has decided to do something that you weren't aware of, you'd have to ask her why. And if anything, I would have come out and said, well, just so you know, that was something we did not talk about. It happened. If you're gonna not take that philosophy that you just said, then come out and challenge it.
Yeah, that's what Paul said.
Just say it's one or the other.
You know, either take every bullet there or you come out and say, great question. I was wondering myself what they were thinking, you know?
So he kind of went in the way.
You go the Jim Rutherford route.
Right.
That's the thing about it is you're the general manager. The buck stops with you.
Yeah. Especially when your own guys are getting, you know your guys right. are getting shredded.
Absolutely. Like to me, that's the other part of it. Let's go and play it the way that, he had absolutely no idea. Charrington had no idea this was going to happen. Okay? Wouldn't you take a bullet for your manager?
That's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't you?
That's what I'm
saying.
If you're
the general manager, wouldn't you take or at least take some of the bullet and say,
just to make it known that this is our decision, where nobody's above
we're
it.
We're all in this together.
The Steelers do this all the time with their drafting. You don't know really who's doing
but
what.
But Tomlin always says,
put that pick on me.
Put it on me. Put it on me.
Right. That's the one thing. Like I said, to me, if you are Charrington in this case, you have to at least make us think or believe that you were somewhat a part of the decision. And then you can take the pressure off your manager, right? If it's an internal discussion where you say, listen, don't do that again, that's okay. But publicly just basically throwing your guy under the bus, hey, I had nothing to do with it. It's on him.
Hey, Ben, you another know, example when Skeens of this, comes up, we're just going to pitch him an inning, but you'll find out about that after we do it.
Getting away from pitching, these decisions that are forthcoming about Davis and or Cruz, it's not going to be made by one person in that dugout. It can't be. It has to be. It's the same concept here. You're dealing with young players who you have to develop, and if they're struggling developing or whatever the case, it does not go without the general manager knowing. Right. He knows everything.
But, and the fact that he has final veto power means that it's his decision. That to me, that's the definition of you're the guy. And like Paul said, the buck stops with you. Really, it stops with Nutting, but I'm sure that there's some of these decisions that even he's not aware of. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Your thoughts on Cherington, Shelton, Cruz, Davis, McCutcheon. It's hard to find a positive
Tellez.
In here. Tellez.
Another one.
Sawinski. It's hard to find a positive right now, unless we're talking about Jared Jones, and even that's become a negative because of all of this. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring's here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. High of 60 and sunny throughout the day. Let's get more into the Pirates, including this. One of the players criticizing the team's sort of energy level and body language, things like that. One of the players from inside the clubhouse criticizing that yesterday.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.